श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। इथाय गौर प्रेमानंदी। We welcome you all to the most auspicious celebration of Sri Krishna Janmashtami. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. Tyaktam deha purnar janma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. That anyone who understands the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's appearance in the material world and his activities here never has to take birth again in this world of birth and death, but he or she goes to Krishna. Of course, being here for the celebrations of Krishna Janmashtami, we're not really in the material world. We have already transcended the material miseries. But if we leave the spiritual environment of Krishna consciousness, we will be back in the material world. And we will have to suffer the pangs of material existence, which are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Mritu Jara Vyadi, Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. Lord Krishna says that part of the process of knowledge is to always be conscious of the miseries of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. This is part of the process of knowledge because without this awareness, we can easily fall into the illusion that the material world is a nice place to live, or that the material body is a nice place to inhabit. And sometimes people even say, well, what's wrong with living in the material world? What's wrong with having a physical body? We can enjoy. But if you ask such a person, do you want disease? No. Do you want to grow old? No. Do you want to die? No. But that's what having a material body in the material world means. And therefore, the whole purpose of Vedic culture is to get liberation from this repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. Now, there are many schools of thought, many different processes by which people attempt to become liberated from this samsara chakra, this repetition of material miseries. But they are all relatively difficult or very difficult. There's karma yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. And not only are they difficult, but there is no guarantee that one will be successful in gaining actual liberation. In fact, without bhakti, without some mixing of bhakti, it is guaranteed that one will not be successful. There must be at least some element of bhakti for the other processes to be even partially successful. But one can be fully successful only by pure devotional service, uttama bhakti or shuddha bhakti. And we can learn this lesson from the pastime of Lord Krishna's taking birth. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that, well, it's a long story, but we can't start, well, we'll start at the beginning, but we can say very briefly that when the world was overburdened by demonic, materialistic, egotistic rulers, Lord Brahma and the demigods prayed for Lord Krishna to descend to relieve the burden of the world. Now, it was not necessary for Krishna to come personally to do that, perform that function, because Lord Vishnu himself is capable of doing that. But coincidentally, it was the time for Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, who appears in a human-like form. Coincidentally, it was time for him to come. And so he appeared as the son of Devaki in the prison of Kamsa, who was a very cruel tyrant. Now, it was predicted that Kamsa would be killed by the eighth son of Devaki. And therefore, he arrested her and her husband Vasudeva. And Devaki had four sons, one after the other, and Kamsa killed all of them. The seventh child was Balaram. But Krishna asked his spiritual energy, Yoga Maya, after Balaram had made the arrangements for Krishna to be transferred to Gokul to take birth as the son of Rohini. And then Krishna was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva, her husband, into her mind by a process that resembles or could be called diksha or initiation. By that process, one who carries the Supreme Personality of Godhead transfers the Supreme Personality of Godhead from his pure mind or heart into the pure mind or heart of his disciple. Now, how can we come to that position? Our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, quoting Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, explains that Kamsa represents material association. Even though one is a devotee, engaging in the practices of devotional service, but because he or she is in a material body with material senses, there's always a chance of becoming attracted by the objects of the senses and becoming entangled in material existence. Therefore, pure devotees are always afraid of associating with Maya or associating with people who are absorbed in material activities. And that fear, it's mentioned throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, out of fear of Kamsa, it comes again and again and again. That fear of material association actually purifies the devotee from the desire for material enjoyment. And only when we're purified from such material desires can Krishna appear within our hearts. We are celebrating Krishna's appearance in the material world about 5,000 years ago. But what we really want to do is have Krishna appear within our hearts, just as he appeared within Devaki. And that is what we should try to understand from this history. So it is said that there is a figure in Vedic history named Marichi. And Marichi was born from the mind. And therefore he can be considered a representative of the mind. And he had the mind gives rise to six unwanted, unnecessary things: lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. So even devotees practicing bhakti yoga in the material world can be subjected to these disturbances: lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy. But if we are afraid of Kamsa, of material association, then those all will be vanquished, just as those first sons of Devaki were vanquished. And then Balaram or Ananta can take birth. He is the personification of service to Krishna, and ultimately Krishna can appear within our hearts. And when we are mature in devotional service, we can also see Krishna face to face and enter into our own personal loving relationship with Krishna. And that is the specific reason why Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, appears. Any incarnation of Vishnu could kill the demons and deliver the devotees and reestablish the principles of Dharma. But only Krishna can show us the beautiful life that awaits us if we join him in Vrindavan. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, and I will read this verse because it's very important. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, Text 36. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashrita bhajate tadrisha krida yashudva tatparo bhavet. Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. So why does Krishna come, the original Krishna? He comes to display his loving activities in Vrindavan so that we can hear about them and speak about them. We all have tongues, and those tongues are eager to wag. So instead of speaking about mundane people who are doomed to suffer and die, like animals without Krishna consciousness, if they are without Krishna consciousness. We can hear about Krishna's activities and then speak about them. And that is the actual process by which we can purify our heart and experience Krishna's presence here in this lifetime, and upon leaving our body, chaktadeham purnarjanma naiti, we don't have to take birth again in the material world, but we go to Krishna, back home, back to Godhead. In displaying his pastimes, Krishna shows us that whatever relationship we want to have with him, he is ready. But the relationships with him are not like those in the material world that are doomed to end when the body ends. In fact, we're lucky if our relationships last as long as our bodies last. Quite often they end well before our body ends. A devotee recently quoted that there was a couple who celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary, which is a pretty good accomplishment. And so someone asked them what was the secret of their success or the longevity of their relationship. And the lady replied that we are from a time when if something was broken, we fixed it. We didn't throw it away. But that time, for most people, has passed. People are so egoistic and so selfish, as soon as they don't like something, just toss it, get a new one, get a better one. My godbrother Burijan Prabhu told the story of a man who got married thinking that, you know, by marriage he would be happy. And he wasn't happy with the relationship, so he divorced her. Then he married a second time, wasn't happy, divorced her. Third, not happy, divorced her. Fourth, not happy, divorced her. Fifth, not happy, divorced her. Sixth, not happy, divorced her. Then he decided to get together with number five, thinking it didn't work the last time around, but maybe it'll work this time. So married number five again. She was number seven. Didn't work. Married number eight. And I guess still counting. I mean, that was as far as Burijan Prabhu knew. So the point I'm making here, of course, we should, you know, be dutiful and try to preserve our relationships according to religious principles. But the higher point I'm making is that no relationship in the material world can last. If it lasts, you know, until death do us part, well, that's very good. But death will you part. So it is temporary. It won't last. And it won't satisfy you either. It won't completely satisfy you. In fact, one authority on marriage made a statement that I like to quote because it's very applicable. And he says that the purpose of marriage is not to make you happy. The purpose of marriage is to make you married. And when you're, you know, properly and securely married, then you can find your own happiness. So we have relationships in the material world. We need relationships. But ultimately, those relationships are meant to provide a support in which we can find our real eternal happiness, which is with Krishna. And we can find out about those relationships and life with Krishna by hearing about his appearance and activities from scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna book, which is Srila Prabhupada's summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by hearing these descriptions, we become attracted. We think, oh, I could have a relationship like that with Krishna. I could be a cowherd boyfriend of Krishna, and I could go out to the forest of Vrindavan with him and take the cows to pasture and play and joke and eat. Or I could have a relationship like a father of Krishna or mother of Krishna, and like the today's celebration, take Krishna in my arms and he'll be the perfect child, be the perfect friend, or hearing about Krishna's activities with the gopis. You think, oh, I want to have that relationship with Krishna. And we can meet and dance and enjoy. We can swing Radha and Krishna and take pleasure in their happiness. So these relationships are possible, and we should really read these books. Srila Prabhupada took great effort to write these books and translate these books just for this purpose, so that we can hear about Krishna, hear about life with Krishna in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, and desire to join him. And then, when that goal is fixed, we adopt the process. It's very simple, just like somewhere along the line, you heard about this temple, and you got attracted. Let me come. And then there's a process. You get the address, you get whatever, the bus or the train or the get in your car, and you follow the directions, and you end up here, and you're in the spiritual world. So in the same way, we hear about Krishna in Vrindavan, and we decide we want to go there, we want to live that life, which is beyond birth and death, and then there's directions. And the directions are bhakti yoga, especially in this age, shravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting about Krishna, beginning with his holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this should be something we do always. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.